All right, let's go.
You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Sound like we had a little something stuck in the exhaust, didn't it? As we pulled off to cruise through the city of Memphis, coming off of a, I don't know. Can you even refer to it as a great sports weekend with what's going on? I guess we did have the mayors playing basketball against each other. Ooh, very exciting stuff. It was. We got a finals taking place. Should be more competitive than it is. At least that's what it feels like to me. I'm disappointed in the Mavericks, and I'm disappointed in the refs last night. It's a chance to make it a little closer, and I think they blew it. Is the two-minute report out? I want to see it. Y'all going to discuss Caitlin Clark today, and you're going to do it amongst yourselves. Not sure if I want to participate, because I think this latest one, I think this latest one is silliness. How's she not on the Olympic team? John Martin's going to tell us. Brad Carson's going to tell us. And we're going to find out today, too, because I'm tired of waiting. Ain't got no nicotine in me. I'm real snarky today.
Yeah.
Is Hurley getting the job or not? We'll find out today.
Yeah, we will. We'll know here soon, very soon.
Tell me.
I think within the next hour, honestly, is what it sounds like. So
excellent.
Hopefully, I mean, I would be absolutely stunned if it did not come down while we're doing the show. But yes, we will absolutely yell at each other about Caitlin Clark today. That is a sports radio.
No, I will not yell at you.
You're indoctrinated. You must yell about Caitlin Clark. So we will do that a little bit later in the show today. NBA Finals Game 2 came and went last night. The Boston Celtics now up 2-0 over the Dallas Mavericks. I don't know. It kind of just felt like the way I was sort of describing it. I was just sitting there alone. I wasn't watching with anybody. But it kind of felt like the Dallas Mavericks were, you know, guarding like a door and some floodgates. You know, they were just trying to hold out the water. And Luka was doing a great job sort of by himself. But at some point, then one screw comes off, and then another screw comes off, and then it's over, right? And the Celtics did not even particularly play well at all. They didn't. They shot the ball pretty poorly by their standards from three. And yet, they still were able to win the game.
Here we go again.
Cover the number. Brad covers.
Yeah, that part made me sick, too. Integrity picks, though.
I think it just sort of illustrates the gap between these two teams. I mean, this is a ready-made, contending Eastern Conference Finals appearing team with a core that's been together, you know, for 5-6 years against a Mavericks team that has way, 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 way overachieved. And it's kind of bearing itself out. Now, listen, the Suns were up 2-0 against Milwaukee during the COVID season when they won the it was the year after that when they won the NBA Finals. So, you know, it has happened. It has happened. But it just sort of feels like it will not in this one. So we'll get into all that today here on the show. Respect Burgers, 1 o'clock. And then Jason Fitz scheduled to join us at 1:25. So that is the show today as we await, again.
Happy Monday to y'all.
Yeah, happy Monday. The decision from Dan Hurley. And just sort of the ripple effects that it may have if he decides to depart from college basketball. But there's a lot of topics that we want to touch on today. So as we will do from time to time, we do a little thing called Cap or No Cap. Let's get it.
Cap. It means lion, but built different now. It's Cap.
I'm going to say Cap.
For No Cap.
I'm going to say that that's No Cap.
On 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Okay. Jason Tatum will win Finals MVP.
This is an interesting one.
That's like the most drama about this series at this point. Who is going to win Finals MVP for the Celtics?
It is early. It's through two. But a lot of times it's already sort of, you know, it's already sort of clear. It's obvious who's going to get it. I don't think it's as clear and obvious this time around, because whether it's been Drew Holiday or, you know, on some other instances, you know, Jaylen Brown, I mean, you've had guys step up, and it doesn't feel like Jason Tatum is controlling this series, right? Statistically, he's averaging almost triple-double. 17 points, 10 rebounds, 8.5 assists per game. And so you look at that and you go, okay, yeah, he's averaging triple. But from a shooting standpoint, he's been awful. He's shooting 32% from the field, 29% from three. And so it doesn't, feel like a MVP-level domination of this series. in the end, if it's all balanced the way it is, hell, Porzingis was the guy I felt like in game one. If it's balanced like this, that's where I go back to you're probably right, right? A series after giving Jaylen Brown the Eastern Conference MVP, the Larry Bird Trophy, I could see them narrative-wise in a balanced layout, you know, for the most part, a balanced effort from a team, them giving it to the guy that, yeah, though he's shooting pretty poorly, he's averaging a triple-double, you know, he's a plus-minus-plus machine, they'll give it to Jason Tatum. So this isn't a question about whether he's deserving, it's about whether or not he's going to get it. And I think in the end, he will, no cap. Yes.
Yeah, he had 18 and 12. He had 18, 12, and 9 last night. Shot so badly, but did impact the game as like the primary ball handler last night in that way with the 12 assists. Had 16 and 11 in game one. Again, two more games have to happen. So, you know, could his shooting percentages improve? Certainly they could. I mean, he's a very, very good player in the NBA. And if they do, I suspect because of the other things that he's done, the assists, the rebounds, the other parts of the game, and honestly his defense, right? I mean, he was certainly on Luka there for, you know, several possessions. So I think he will ultimately get it, although, you know, you watch him and you do sort of have this thought all the time. Like, I know you're a great player, but I sometimes have a hard time, you know, thinking that when I watch him. I don't know how to explain it. It's just like, The traditionally, historically great players, the conventional great players, you know, he is one who tends to, he takes tough layups, he takes tough turnarounds. It's like he settles sometimes as opposed to just using
sometimes,
his gifts.
Sometimes, it's a high percentage of the time. It
feels yeah.
Like, where it doesn't feel like Jaylen Brown is settling at all, back to your point. Jaylen Brown is playing, you could argue, just as effective a level of defense, if not more. He's averaging 3 steals per game and a block and a half per game. That's more than Tatum is doing on the defensive end, and he spent a ton of time on Luka as well and some of these other guys, and he's averaging more points, and more importantly, being more efficient about it. Like when they needed to go to the basket, you know, in game one, felt like maybe Dallas is getting back in it because we're standing here shooting threes. It's Jaylen Brown getting the basket, getting the free throws. It's Jaylen Brown blocking Kyrie Irving in game one on that end. Like, I guess the point I'm making is this feels like more of an MVP-level performance on both ends from him, although he doesn't have the rebounds and the assists. He's got him in every other category, though.
Right.
Defensively, from a scoring standpoint, and you've been more efficient. And he just feels like he is the vocal leader. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, it ain't Jason Tatum leading them, but it's Brown. And frankly, I mean, he's been doing this, like we said, since he got snubbed from the All-NBA team, and Halliburton's the last guy on that third team, and he didn't get it. He has not just stepped up in terms of on the court, but as a vocal leader, we're not going to drop this. Hey, keep the intensity up. He's doing as much talking as Mazzulla. And so, again, if I was making the case today about who deserves it, it would be Jaylen Brown, I think. And particularly, again, the fact that how dominating he is on defense right now. A block and a half. You know, in essentially, you know, 3 steals a game in this final so far, and it's small sample size too. But to me, he's the guy that's going out and seizing it, as opposed to Tatum, who you're right has been their main playmaker, but he hasn't been as efficient offensively, and he hasn't been nearly as impactful defensively
right.
as Brown and even Drew Holiday defensively.
Well, because when you think Finals MVP performances, right, you think about
fingerprints all over it.
No doubt. You know, the Giannis 50-point closeout, right?
And I can't just give that to him based on with you on the rebounds and the assists.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, he's doing a great job there, and he's a plus machine. But in terms of who's dominating this series, to me, when I look up, it's Jaylen Brown telling them we ain't going to let this go. You know, it's Jaylen Brown dunking on the entire Mavericks team.
Although he's only averaging 21, right?
I mean, yeah, but it's 21 to Jason Tatum's inefficient 17.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a super efficient 21.
It kind of feels like
21 and a half, and he's shooting 56% from the floor. Now, his three-point shooting hasn't been there first two games. But his overall game, again, that's getting to the basket and recognizing, guys, let's not just settle. And frankly, it's been that attitude that's helped put them up 2-1, as opposed to the settler attitude. So, this is it's a good question, because is he going to win it? guys, we know it's going to be the media that picks this thing. Narrative goes a long way. Just rewarded Jaylen Brown for how good he was in the Eastern Conference Finals. So you can absolutely see them going with Tatum. Right now, I think Brown deserves it more.
Yeah, look, it's going to be one of those
deals. If this was deserved, I'd go with Brown.
It'll be like the Iguodala Finals MVP in 2015, right? Like where he probably wasn't the best player, but he had like the most important job, which was defending LeBron. I'm guessing, because every other Finals MVP has been pretty dominant. I mean, Jokic, Steph, Giannis, Bron, Kawhi, KD those 2 years, Bron again.
I mean, 12 of 38 in the two games is nasty.
None of those players Tatum's that I just mentioned shot anywhere those. Close to this bat. Now, again, two games left, right, at least.
No, that's true, and you do figure you're not going to keep going 4-14 like he is from three.
I mean, there's a chance that this all gets settled, pretty easily, one way or the other, right? I mean, maybe Jaylen Brown starts averaging 30. I mean, it will have to be him. You can't not give it to Jaylen Brown. I mean, it's close. It's like Tatum is plus 110, Brown's like plus 180.
Dude, how about 19 and 9.5? You know who's doing that?
Drew.
Yes.
Drew is making a case.
And monster defense.
Absolutely. If he has two more
games. And he's shooting 65% from the floor.
Now, he's not probably going to have a game like last night, but if he does, if this is a sweep, and Drew.
Bro, Drew Holiday.
If he does, if he replicates his performance last night two more times, he should be the MVP.
Yeah. Agreed.
Because I thought last night, listen, there's MVP of the finals and there's MVP of my heart, right? And as someone who had Boston Celtics minus 6.5 last night, Drew Holiday is my MVP.
Dude, he's always that guy at the end of the game finishing it off.
He hit that three that made it maybe 11, and then he got that steal on the inbound, right? He also had another assist that led to a three.
And he did a ton of that in that Indiana series, and a separate from this in a finals discussion. But
I mean,
a ton of that finishing up,
exactly.
Get the final steal at the end of the game. Like, dude has been
no question.
What an addition! So much more than Marcus Smart was giving them, and he does. He's not loud about it whatsoever.
No,
he just
he's not.
Goes out and gives you this championship level performance. This. I mean, he's got the DNA, dude.
He does.
He's not waiting on anybody. To lead him to a title. Dude is leading through his play.
Everybody talks about Porzingis as the addition, and they probably don't talk enough about the Drew Holiday one.
Well,
because he unlocked probably more for the Celtics than
Dude,
Porzingis.
He has got Kyrie verklempt, whatever
yes,
that
does.
Word is.
Verklempt. Wow.
Was it used correctly?
That's it, yeah, wow. I mean,
and Kyrie's supposed to be the guy bringing, again, he's got a championship too. So you'd expect him to be a little smarter than he's been.
German.
You're like, yeah, drop that on Monday. You didn't expect that on Monday.
I really didn't.
Really opening up our horizons now.
It's a little early before noon, but that's fine.
Kyrie is just discombobulated because of Drew Holiday's defense. And so you're right in terms of MVP of your pockets right now. It's Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
He's helping you.
We'll do this Wednesday, but...
He's helping Brad, too. Brad's playing integrity pits.
Yeah, look, and I think this is a good time to sort of talk about that. There's no doubt that Brad is finishing strong.
Yeah, unfortunately.
He started so badly, right? He started very, very badly, losing 80% of his picks. And over the course of time, he has stabilized a bit. He's still losing, but it's not drastic, right?
No, like 57%.
Well, what I would say is... He's done what when you win, he's done what you're supposed to do, which is he's identified the team.
That's how you know they're
integrity
picks.
And he's just riding with them. And that's the Boston Celtics.
I respect it.
That's pretty. You've won almost all of your Celtics picks, haven't you, Brad?
Yeah,
just
I have.
About.
Yeah.
I feel like at one point we thought they were unfadable.
Well, that's
it's only been a couple times where he's been let down.
That's what's happened, right? It's Boston has been the best team. You're picking
by
Boston
far.
In these games, and they're handling business. It's when you have five games a day,
right,
where you're going to see like, oh, this is where it's very difficult. But once you start to get to the standalone, right.
Well,
there's two outcomes.
Even last night on the line with a bad beat, it's like the worst the Celtics could play, and they still cover. you know, with the seven.
Yeah, that would have been a bad beat, up 14 with 2 minutes left.
Yeah, that would have been
terrible.
They
pushed P.J. in the back, though.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Shouldn't have been on the line with a chance to cut it to three.
You're right.
I mean, that was a pretty crazy. That was a pretty crazy.
And I don't even have money on it.
When they went up 14, 103.89, I'm like, I'm counting the money.
Right.
2 minutes left?
Yes.
I mean, come on.
Yes.
Like, this is ridiculous. And then they had a chance to cut it to one possession.
That's what I'm saying. I was looking at the number.
Dallas wouldn't have had to foul.
Right.
We're less than
a minute. They would have played that out.
They would have played it out.
Yeah.
With a three.
That would have been
it. And again, PJ was 4 for 4. So there's every reason to believe he's going to hit those free throws.
No doubt.
Brown fouled him, pushed him in the back.
I was rooting against the pick there, and I thought, well, this is gonna be good for the listeners.
I was not rooting against the pick there.
Oh, you were on it?
I had it. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I tailed you in game one.
He's been tailing you, Brad. He kept recognizing that you're finishing
two.
Hot to,
yeah.
to finish
yeah.
this thing.
I mean, I also think, like, that the Dallas Mavericks don't really have an answer for what the Boston Celtics do.
Nope.
They've attempted 8 corner threes this entire series.
Yeah, so that's the bread and butter, that and the lob, and it hadn't been
there. They're taking it away.
Mm. Yeah.
And does that change at home? I don't think it changes at home. I don't think the players change. I don't think the game plan changes. I mean, could you get more from Kyrie at home? Possibly. But he's been so bad against the Celtics, just wherever it is. I was listening to Dan Devine. He had the stats. Like, he's 71 points on 80 shots is what he's done against the Celtics in this season, going back to the regular season.
He's also lost 12 straight to them. Did you know that?
I heard that last night. I was like, damn. I mean, this is like they got a hold on you, bruh.
That's what I'm saying. What were you
thinking?
The
Sage. It was the Sage. Yeah. It was the reverse, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the skin,
they got his
the
number.
Skin crawler, skin walker.
Drew's a problem for him right now.
Yeah, and unless Drew Holiday is, going to have to quarantine with COVID or something.
But he plays through sickness. We saw it last
that's
series.
True, that's true. Say. That's what we do now. You know, there used to be a time where you could hope for a quarantine with COVID, but now those days are over. And so, yes. Look, I don't know. This is how it feels, how it goes to me. It feels like Celtics win game 3, Dallas wins game 4, Boston closes out at home in game 5. That's how I kind of feel this series going.
I can see that.
Dallas will get one just because Luka's just, you know, someone will show up for him, you feel like. I think he did become, the youngest player to have a 30-point triple-double in the finals last night. But unfortunately, it's all for naught because his team has just got piss running down his leg. You know, nobody else is showing up.
I mean, Washington gave him 17.
Look,
Gafford
man.
Gave him 13.
Look,
Jones gave him 11.
Okay, fine.
It's
Kyrie.
Really that dude, Kyrie Irving, if you want to boil it down, than that starting lineup.
Kyrie saved LeBron, and he is letting down Luka.
Oh, and Maxi Kleber, they all just sit him down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he cannot do anything on the offensive end.
No.
Zero. He can't hit a shot right now. He's coming back from injury.
He was really –
can't guard.
He was really important.
They want him to shoot.
For the cover last night. He was really important.
He was.
Awful.
Real quick on this cover, I want to just take people through how amazing this is. This opened Boston -7.5. Game 2 opened Boston -7.5. It was immediately bet down to Dallas +7, and it actually closed Dallas +6.5. So it opens Boston -7.5. It closes Boston -6.5. Boston wins by 7. That is how efficient this stuff is. Okay?
Damn, bro.
When you take $100,000 a click, you got to be on the money. And if you bet the Mavericks early, congrats. If you bet the Celtics late, congrats. Any other combination? L.
Damn.
I can't imagine really having money on it. Then I'd have been screaming at the TV.
I would have been crazy at the end.
PJ Washington on the line.
Yeah.
I didn't have money, and I was crazy
screaming.
At the end.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely always have money on these, and you get a little numb.
Razor's edge,
lucky,
bro.
Is that two-minute report going to say Jalen Brown fouled?
Razor's edge.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, I didn't really ever feel good about it until they finally.
Boston just takes so long to close the door.
They really do. And then they still leave that thing open, bro. They still leave it open. As well as, you know.
A little lighter. Yep.
But it's going to be interesting now because now it flips. Now Boston is a
1.5 dog.
Yeah, they're you can get them plus money on the money line.
Mm.
And you kind of feel like everybody's going to suspect Dallas gets one here. It'll be interesting to see sort of where this number goes. I also will say this. The Porzingis, I know that Mazzulla said Porzingis is fine. If you believe that, you know, you should bet the Celtics. If you don't, though, there might be an opportunity with Dallas at this number because he looked bad after he fell down, you know, on that PJ rebound.
Yep.
Didn't
look good.
And he's, you know, it's one thing to get through sort of Indiana, Miami, and the infirmary and Cleveland, right, with Horford. But it's another when you're having to protect against that lob, you know.
Yep.
and all you have basically is Horford. Now, Cornette can protect the rim. I will give him that. He struggles against the Miles Turner types. But I don't want to be, you know, having to depend on Luke Cornette, bro. I mean, come on. It's the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I think your boy Mazzulla's trying to downplay that. It looked a little more serious.
Yeah, because he didn't do nothing. Mm-hmm. He didn't do a damn thing out there after that happened.
Well, I hope he's okay, though.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how what comes out. But for now, I'm going to say no cap. I'm going to say Tatum wins it.
They'll end up giving it to him.
Just because
it's the media vote.
It's the Narrative Basketball Association, folks. It's the way it goes. So I do think Tatum will win. Okay. The Dallas Mavericks are messing this up, cap or no cap.
That's in reference to, I'm assuming, Kyrie Irving saying before that game, I thought it was going to be louder, speaking of game one.
Yes.
The Boston Celtics obviously took that quote, used it on their Jumbotron and everything else in terms of creating an atmosphere for Kyrie that was even louder come game two. I'm not sure what he was thinking with that, because we had seen a more mature Kyrie that had been hitting all the right notes in terms of the buildup for this, not giving Boston any bulletin board material, just seeming that true leader that understands, listen, there's no reason to give anybody any extra here. And all of a sudden, you're getting a Kyrie that should understand what this could do in terms of setting up the environment, and a Kyrie who's struggling right now. And so you set yourself up for failure, too. And John had brought on, too, this isn't just about Kyrie, you know, Jason Kidd, trying to play the mind games between games one and two, where you go out of your way, double down on saying that Jaylen Brown is the Boston Celtics' best player. I don't care if you believe that or not. And frankly, I'll tell you, he got a pretty good case in terms of right now what he's doing in these finals. All you're trying to do there, it's so obvious, is to get in these guys' heads, trying to separate Tatum, Brown, the connectivity they have going right now. And what did you do? You played right into their hands. Jason Tatum was asked about it, and what does he tell you? Man, that's not going to get us. What matters right now is that we all play together. You know, you get a more galvanized effort after you attempt to mess with it. I think both of those guys should know better, that Boston has been here enough cracks at this that they're not going to fall for that simple a trick if you're Jason Kidd. And then for Kyrie Irving, what are you doing? You've been in the finals before. You know how Boston can get. You saw it against you. You saw how toxic they can be in terms of you tell them one thing, you ain't going to do something. Should have been a little bit louder. They're going to come back twice as hard. And frankly, again, these are guys that should know better, it feels like, even though for Kidd, I suppose, first time as a finals coach. Kyrie, though? It's your second finals. You should know better. And you know how Boston is.
Yeah, that was a mistake strategically, because
he played it so right, too.
Especially
up
him,
until this
right?
point. Yeah.
He's raw meat for that fan base.
Well, it looks like it's bothering him.
Yeah, it clearly
It'd
is.
It'd be different if he's out there and he's killing. He looked out of his head. Drew Holiday's in front of him. He throws the ball completely away. He's done that a couple times.
Yeah.
Just hadn't looked the same Kyrie, the stud he had been the rest of the playoffs, right?
Jaylen Brown bothered him.
Yeah. Jaylen's bothered him, no question.
Yeah, it's just it's interesting. Like, you watch the Celtics
block one of his shots.
And you're like,
yes,
this team is just kind of goofy. Like, they should be, you know, dominating but honestly, going off of like historical, you know, rankings, SRS, all that kind of stuff, like if you want to get into the weeds here, they are, I believe, statistically, one of the 10 best teams of all time. They're better than those Warriors teams, that the pre-Kevin Durant Warriors teams.
Mm-hmm.
They're better than, you know, the Spurs teams.
Yeah.
I don't believe Miami ever showed up on any, like with LeBron. I don't think Miami ever showed up in this list too. I got to find, okay, so here we go. This is SRS, which it's, I don't know, look it up on your own time. But this is basically like the best teams of all time. So they're fifth by this metric.
Wow.
The best team ever is the 1970-71 Bucks. Would that have been Oscar Robertson? You were there.
Probably.
95-96, I don't know much about this team, Chicago Bulls.
Bulls. I was waiting on you to tell me the Bulls team. That they were second?
Second all time.
Okay. Where's the 86 Celtics or 80-something Celtics, one of those teams?
Not in the top 10.
Really?
Yeah. So I'll go through them here. 71-72 Lakers, and they were three. 26-2017 Golden State. That was KD. This Celtics team's fifth. 71-72 Bucks. 96-97 Bulls. Was Jordan still there in 96-97?
Yeah, all of them. Yep. All the ones the Bulls won.
Okay, so two Bulls teams there. There were three Bulls teams actually in the top 10. Golden State in 15-16. That was, I believe, KD. No, that was the year before KD showed up. because they lost that finals to LeBron, and that's when they signed, that summer they signed KD.
Uh-huh. Mm.
So that was the, that was pre-KD at 8. 15-16 Spurs at 9, and then Bulls, 91-92, 10th. The 2014-15 Warriors were 11th. So,
bro,
anyway,
that 15-16 Golden State team lost 9 games.
Crazy.
They were 73-9.
Yeah, and they lost the damn finals.
That's
and they blew a 3-1 lead.
Unbelievable.
But that was Draymond's year.
I blame Luke Walton, sorry.
It was definitely Draymond's.
Draymond
fault.
Blew that.
Yeah, he got suspended.
In that
game 5.
That series.
And it swung the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It swung the entire, I'll never forget
He's
it.
He's got to live with that the rest of his life.
Oh, that's tough.
Yes, he does. But yeah, basically, if you want to go modern era, the 95-96 Bulls are the best ever. That and then, you know, again, if you want to take anything past 1971, which I'm fine with, that would mean the Celtics are the third best team in modern in the modern era, which is kind of
wow.
Like, do you, when you watch that, do you think that? No, you don't.
Well, it's based on the balance and how many guys. I mean, they got
threes.
5, 6, 7 guys
crazy.
Averaging double figures, and
yeah,
most of them all efficient.
Yeah,
you can bring up how well Derek White's playing for the most part. You
know, but I don't think the Mavericks are helping their case, though. I'll say that. I don't think they're helping their case for some of the things they've done.
Of that 12 straight, he's lost to Boston. 7 of them are on the road. He should have known better than to, you know, give their crowd anything. And it looked like it's bothered him.
So. Yeah. All right. Dan Hurley will be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. Is that cap or no cap? We should have a decision here, you know, relatively soon.
Betting markets say he will, right?
Yes, bet
online.
Some
minus 400s out there, like it's that?
Yes.
What am I going to go against that? Am I going to sit up here and tell you, no, this is all a facade to protect the fact that the Lakers really do want JJ? No, I can't say. I don't have enough evidence to be able to point to that kind of cover up here.
Yeah.
No, he's going to take the job. Everybody seems to believe it. The betting markets think so, too. And, I will say I don't know why we got to prolong it here. You know, you could have just done it over the weekend, but it does feel like, I mean, all signs point that he'll take the job. I just can't imagine the betting market's got it this wrong. If they do, you should go in on it right now. If you can't, well, is all that off?
That'd be on Bet Online. I mean, it is offshore, but it's definitely,
all that's,
you know,
offshore
it's
stuff.
Bettable. I mean, they'll take a bet. Sometimes you get these emails and these places don't even take a bet. They just make hypothetical lines that they want you to mention their website, but they don't even take money bets on these. Those I would always tell you to steer clear of.
You wouldn't tell me that the sports books are wrong here, would you?
I would say there actually might be a little bit of value on plus 300. I mean, again, that implies 80%, right?
Mm-hmm.
Minus 400 implies 80%. Do I think there's an 80% chance that Hurley's taking the job? I don't. I think it's probably closer to like 65-35, 60-40 he goes. I would bet UConn at those numbers. That doesn't mean I necessarily think that's what's going to happen. But what do you think of the way he's moving? He was at the Billy Joel concert on Saturday night in New York City. Luke Murray posted a video of him and his wife all singing Piano Man, you know. I mean, is that the way you think? And I'm asking. Do you think that's the way that the guy who's going to be the next Lakers coach would be moving, who's going to, by the way, like take a knife and put it to UConn, be out here publicly singing Piano Man? Or do you think he'd be moving silently, like, yo, I got to do this. I got to take care of it. I'm going to tell everybody, then I'm going to go. I don't know. Like, to me, it feels like he's just I feel like he's kind of playing the Lakers to get more money from UConn. That's how I feel. Nobody's told me that. But that's just how it feels to me. Wouldn't you just wanted to get it over with if you were going?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to embarrass anybody or be seen out.
Would you really need to come back home if you were taking the Lakers job?
Yeah, but he said he's a different kind of person. He's not your average person.
Like if it was you, would you have just said right there on the? I know you would have. You'd be like, oh yeah, we're going. You wouldn't have even gone back to stores. You'd have said,
well, especially when I already told them, right? I already told them I met with them, and told them, look, I'm in serious discussion.
Absolutely.
So I've given them that.
Palinka would have blown you away.
And the next they would have seen with me is me getting introduced as the Lakers coach.
That's right.
I already addressed. I talked about it with those players.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. So I think, you know, again, going back to stores is kind of like a little odd to me. Going to a $100 million, whatever it is, probably not 100, but like $75-80 million decision, and you're just like going to see Billy Joel, like, sing us a song, Piano Man, like F LeBron, right?
I see what you're saying, but I don't see you hitting the plus 300 here.
No, I mean.
That's what I'm saying. You're making a great case,
I gotta
hitting the plus 300
deposit
on.
With crypto. You know my history with crypto, so I don't really want to go down that road again.
Once that What's that word again? What's the keychain word?
It's our
safe word.
No, what the hell is it?
We forgot. Memphis 10.
I never want to think about it ever again.
No, I'm sorry.
Let's see. NBA specials, coaches. What's it now? They don't even have it anymore, I don't think.
They took it off.
Yeah, it's off the board.
Because people already rushed it. We missed our opportunity.
Maybe is it a one-on-one?
Based on your info.
Yeah, they don't even have
listen,
it.
Listen, this is all a cover-up. They really want JJ. They just had to make it look.
Maybe it's specials.
And then they've used Woj here, right, to go out. And they've used Hurley agreed to this. Mm-hmm. That's what you're telling me. He was always going to go to the Billy Joel concert. Right? And all this was an opportunity to make him look, like I said, get him paid again by UConn, coming off of a raise last offseason. Frankly, you can argue he deserves it, though. Mm-hmm. He went back and won another championship. And then to make him look hot in terms of from that L.A. standpoint, makes them look like they had a plan, like a real plan, instead of just going to get LeBron's friend.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, who will be right? In the end, Shams.
Shams
will be the phoenix rising from the ashes.
Bro, they said that dude was on FanDuel today.
Sick.
And he didn't even
discuss it.
Talk about it, bro.
He's sick right now. But we're going to rise up.
He was wrong.
Well, have you seen how many times Woj has gone out of his way?
From
the very beginning.
The land before time.
Hurley was the one they wanted. Right after West.
Yes.
They started thinking about this.
Friggin'
right
darts,
after
bro.
The Jerry West years,
bro,
Hurley was
they
up
said
for
from
it.
The very moment that Dan Hurley exited the womb.
He's hitting Shams every
time.
He was
the one.
He's stabbing his former pupil.
He is.
Every time, because he gets it in there every time he talks about
it.
I have noticed it, Woj. Very petty.
It's
petty.
Back in 1947,
that's what I'm trying to tell
the
you.
Lakers saw the glint in Dan Hurley's father's eye, and they said, right, we want to hire your son.
Produce a coach.
He will build our program.
Our future.
In 1955, they knew.
So, wait a minute. So, Shams is just like green. He's on these shows and not even speaking.
Correct.
He's sick.
It's
going to come back around.
Somebody tweeted that he hasn't even mentioned. It's the biggest story in the NBA today, right?
Yes,
it ain't the finals.
Yes, it is.
And he hasn't even addressed it, bro.
But he didn't take his tweet down.
He is not taking his tweet down. But he was wrong. He was clearly wrong.
He's wrong that they were zeroing in.
That was the report. That was the whole thing.
But again,
he missed.
You and I have talked about this off air, on air. For JJ just had the one interview, Borrego to have two, and for you to insist in your reporting that they're zeroing in on JJ, you have to feel really good about that info.
Agreed.
Like you would put your career on it.
But it was clearly a false flag operation by somebody.
Somebody in clutch.
Somebody, maybe the Lakers intentionally misdirected clutch. I don't know. Because nobody was reporting Dan Hurley, right?
No one.
Woj is dealing directly with Hurley. That could not be more obvious. He's talking to the guy that's getting the offer. And
well,
now
I figured he had Pelinka, too, because he's
Wendy,
got most front
Wendy's
office.
On there talking about how, you know, the Lakers are on edge because they gave him this huge offer, the biggest offer in the history of the franchise, and he hasn't given him an answer. And so, yeah, Shams, no matter even if whether or not Dan Hurley takes the job, it's going to be Dan Hurley did turn down the job. It's not going to be he wasn't a candidate. It's going to be that he turned down the job. And
yeah. So they've merged Shams.
His credibility on this story.
Even if they go back to JJ.
Absolutely right.
You're saying they did a kill job on Shams.
Yeah, that would just have
Woj,
been.
Woj, the
yes.
Lakers.
That's,
now you're saying Woj and Hurley.
Yeah, this is not what. I can't rule out what.
I'm saying the Lakers could
Lakers.
Be in there, too, because they were being
absolutely.
Made a laughing stock, and all you just do whatever LeBron says.
Shams
and you're going to go.
Repped by clutch.
I know.
So that, like, this could. This
and
was
so they
a,
could be tired of it.
100%. Everybody thinks this is LeBron's show. We're going to show this ain't LeBron's show. Watch this. Oh, yeah. Oh, somebody
they
got
kneecapped Shams.
Some Russian disinformation. No doubt about it. I mean, I really do believe that. There's no way you do that and
I
get
know.
There. Like, so, look, Shams was probably told this by Maverick Carter or Rich Paul. I mean, I really honestly don't think there's any other scenario where he would run with that, right?
Right. You're saying had wrong information.
He was... The person that gave him the information had wrong information.
Right. Because they would, Rich Paul, they're not going to look to steer their man wrong. That is their man.
And so.
They represent him, don't they?
Yes.
So his credibility is
exactly.
incredibly important to them as well.
And
so you're not going to give him misinformation
yes,
on purpose.
I think it's, again, I think it's less so trying to snuff out where the info is coming from as much as it is let everybody know we back up. This ain't the Los Angeles Clutchers. This is the Lakers, and it's my show.
Or the LeBroners.
Yeah. This is the
Clutchers.
This is Rob Pelinka.
That's good.
You know, this is Rob Pelinka, Genie Buss show.
Woj, come on in here. We're going to talk to you about a plan we got.
And so then they give, and then Hurley gives the real information to Woj, who drops the bombshell, and here we are. So, yeah, I mean, his credibility on this one is shot. There's no doubt about it. You know, I don't think he would have done anything differently. I'm sure Rich Paul and Maverick Carter have given him a million accurate stories over the years, you know, and he's been proven right. And, I mean, if you or I were in his shoes, we would have done the same exact thing. It's coming from LeBron's agent, his team. He is the Lakers. He's the face of the franchise. He would know, you know.
They flipped it on us.
But, yeah, it's I think that's exactly what happened. And so now we'll just see if Dan Hurley takes the job or not. But for now, you know, we're all waiting. We're all waiting what is next for the UConn coach. All right, it is that time, baby. Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark. And that's it. That's the statement. Cap or no cap. Caitlin Clark.
No, it's got to be more. It's about the Olympic team.
Oh, sorry. Got snubbed.
It's no cap.
She was left off of the U.S. Women's Olympics team, which will go for their 8th gold medal in Paris in July.
How many's Diana Taurasi got?
Diana Taurasi?
18.
Was a part of the original Olympics back in Rome. In 18.
Don't tell me she needs to be there. Okay? That's my thing. Why is it so important to have her back? Because we got to win. That's all we do. So don't tell me how tight this is going to be in terms of our women going over there, and they need every bit of chemistry possible. And they need Taurasi. Who's got what? She's got teammates going over, right? In terms of Brittany Griner, she's got some other teammates. And I heard that was even looked at as an edge. You know, you're in terms of your chemistry and what you bring up. Stop it. First of all, it ain't gonna be close. And then third of all, when you say that what you know in terms of the selection committee that you know what you were really concerned about and was the fans, Caitlin's fans, who might respond negatively if she's not playing a lot. Like, we're acting like, first of all these games are going to be competitive, like she's not going to get out there. And then, we're worried about what the fans are going to say on social media? Caitlin Clark brings eyeballs to it. This is supposed to be about growing the game. Like, what are we doing here? Breonna Stewart got on her rookie year, so there's precedent for this and everything else. Don't tell me that she needs to wait her turn. She's great for the game of women's basketball. And the Olympics and this competition should be about growing that. That's what we say it's about.
Yeah.
And so not including her because you're worried about for attention. In this case, you think negative attention because she might not. First of all, half these are going to be blowouts, so there's going to be plenty of opportunity to get her out there. And don't tell me that from an advertiser standpoint, a marketing standpoint, eyeballs, that your advertising partners and everybody wouldn't be. Of course we want Caitlin Clark on the team.
Right.
There's a chance, and Trista Crick looked like she made NBC National News with this take. I saw it last night, John, and good for her. There's a chance it'll be more watched than the men's. There's that chance. Because this phenomenon of Caitlin Clark in terms of the eyeballs, the viewing phenomenon that she is. And so from that standpoint, think about how much advertisers would want to be a part of what you're doing. And here's the part where Stephen A's right. Like that lifts all boats.
Yeah.
That tide. We all get more if we've got her on there. Who cares what they're acting like, oh, the response on social media if she's not playing would have just been so negative. That's not good for the game. Caitlin Clark is good for the game because she brings more eyeballs, more attention, and frankly, more dollars when you involve her. So if you could put Christian Laettner on the freaking first dream team, right, with Jordan and Larry Bird and all the great ones, and we know why they did that, then you could absolutely put Caitlin Clark on this one. I mean, they've put don't tell me you don't put rookies on there. They had Breonna Stewart on. So this is foolishness. Short-sightedness. Whatever you want to call it, John.
Right. Look, I think Let her earn it. I hate how this is broken down so plainly down racial lines. That's what I hate. Caitlyn is sort of being used as a trophy now for white people. I saw a shirt that Barstool's putting out of Caitlyn and saying she's the only player that matters, which is absolutely ridiculous. But it's also like, so it's like people are basically arguing, you know, race here now. That's what it's broken down to. And we can sort of, you know, pretend that that's not the case or not, but it's obvious to me on social media. So I hate that part of it. It's like it's gotten so far beyond you know, basketball, and it's been trending. It was trending this way back in the championship game, right? I mean, versus South Carolina, you could sort of, and Dawn had to come out and say she, because you saw the resistance, right? You saw the resistance from the older players who said she wasn't the GOAT, she wasn't this. Diana Taurasi was hating. Like, it's been weird about Caitlin the entire way, and so that's, there's a lot at play here. That unfortunately goes beyond the thing of basketball. I think if your goal is to grow the game, then Caitlin would be on the team. It just flat out. And we also, like, don't pick the best 12 players, right? Like, when did that – you mentioned Leitner. We're not doing it this year. Halliburton's on the team. He ain't one of the best 12 players in the NBA. He's not even close. Steph Curry this is Steph Curry's first Olympics. I mean, he's been one of the best 12 players in the NBA, right?
Mm-hmm.
For his entire career, basically. This is first Olympics. So we never picked the best 12 players. You know, we pick, because if we did, obviously before this finals, we would have said Kyrie should be on it. You know, we'd have had him in the discussion over Halliburton, certainly. And we could go down the list, you know, on and on. So that's just the thing. It's not about the best 12. It's really never been about the best 12. That this sort of this gatekeeping that is being had, and also like this insistence from Caitlin's fans that, you know, oh my God, you know, what a tragedy and a travesty to the game of basketball. I mean, I think she should probably have been on it because it doesn't really matter who the 12th person on this team is. Like Caitlin will help just as much as Diana will. You know, I mean, Diana's done this. Diana's been there. She's, you know, she should be ready to pass the torch. That's
my part about this.
And she's not. She's holding on to this.
Diana Taurasi, just randomly, will be 42 tomorrow.
Correct. That's insane.
She turns 42 tomorrow.
Yes.
And why is it so important?
Yes.
And she's been fantastic, and I salute what she has done for women's basketball, clearly. Why is this so important for her to go out and get a sixth gold medal? She's been doing this
exactly
since 2004.
Because it keeps Caitlin from being on the team, if we're being honest. Diana Taurasi is problematic.
Bro.
Diana's problematic.
Now, folks are pointing out, she's having a great season. She's a fantastic story that she's still this effective at this age. But back to what you said, she should be ready to 100%. Hand it over, man.
Yeah.
You've had your turn at it.
No doubt.
You got five of them things sitting at your house. That's awesome. It's a credit to your longevity. But she should be the one that should be saying, it's time for us guys to hand this over. And frankly, it would kill a lot of this foolishness, John.
It really would.
That you see. So in terms of these veteran players, how they feel about her, so how that's sort of been added to the conversation.
Right.
She should be ready to hand it over. Forget that she knows how to get the ball into Griner better than other people.
Yep.
Because, again, you have won, what, six, seven of these in a row.
Yes.
How important is it for women, American women, to go out and win another gold
medal?
They're
70-3 in Olympic play all time. Okay.
Man, it should be about growing the game. And Diana Taurasi, I look at her as the vet here that should be saying, you know what?
No doubt.
My time, I had a great time.
Yeah, it's
me
time for the
Sue
next generation.
Me and Sue had a great run. Exactly.
You know,
it's time for the next generation.
But she has been so adamant about sort of not willingly handing that torch to Caitlin.
No, not her turn yet.
Why? I don't know. I think, you know, you have two choices, right? You can sort of, you could help somebody up the ladder, or you can pull
the rungs
up.
That's the part about the racial, and I realize there are racial components to this, but you got white vets that are treating her the same way that folks are trying to say
vets are here. Yeah.
Because I would tell you, Taurasi, and just her actions,
no doubt,
is doing that, or sort of speaking that into existence.
And I think we have to be honest about it. There's no doubt about it that this is all rooted in envy.
That's what I'm saying. There's more of that than there is racism. This is black folks that can't stand
Caitlin Clark. There's a lot of components, right? There's a lot of components.
There ain't a question, because this is, you got veterans.
Yes.
Like Diana Taurasi. It ain't about race for her.
Yes. No, it's not.
She wants to hold her off.
Exactly.
Right? Hold, keep her back at bay until she's done.
Yes.
Until we're ready to hand over the crown. My point is, she should be. She should be.
What's
that say about her ego?
No doubt.
You got to go over there at turning 42 tomorrow.
If they're if we would be saying the same thing about LeBron, by the way, if LeBron
was holding back Ja.
Exactly. But LeBron is still one of the 12 best. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's really nobody to we're not throwing him off the team to go grab somebody else, right? He's still an awesome player. You know, Diana, great season and all that. Clearly,
she's having a good season. She's still one of the best players in the league.
Yeah.
That's clear.
But she's just not, you know, she's lived the.
We got to have her because we got to win this seventh in a row, or whatever it is, seventh gold medal in a row. Stop.
And we may actually need LeBron, right? I mean, the world for the men, we're not, you know, it's getting better by the day. You have Germany, you have Serbia, you know, you have a lot of other countries that have caught up to America and have beaten us, right? I mean, Spain, it has happened. Canada, it has happened. You need the best, as opposed to women where, dude, the gap is so wide, you could go put you could probably go put like the best college players, right, in college basketball.
So Angel and Cardoso and Caitlin.
Yeah.
It'd be closer.
Yeah.
Or the ones that just came out, this rookie class.
Yeah.
It'd be closer.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's not something that I'm like gonna yell at anybody about. I think she probably should have been on it. I think my biggest issue is how reluctant Diana has been about her.
She didn't even get a chance to make the camp because she was still playing for Iowa.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's like y'all are holding that against her.
She had no chance.
She didn't have a chance to come to the camp.
Right.
It's like you're holding that against her. She's still playing her college season.
Yes.
Which didn't make any sense. And you can tell when she says she told her coach that, you know, they create a monster here.
Yeah.
Like, she expected to be on this thing. And I'm sure not going in there expected to be handed time or expecting to be, you give me all the shots. She's willing to pay her dues, I'm sure, like Breonna Stewart was willing to as a rookie as well. Now, they were, the difference with Breonna was Gino was the coach then. And so there was this understanding from a competitive standpoint. He could give her the best platform and really use her. That doesn't, who cares? That's an excuse.
It is.
You let Breonna on because, frankly, she deserved to be, was as talented. And what? There'd be more eyeballs on you. There'd be, this is ridiculous. It works against what you should be trying to do, which is create more positive attention,
right?
Get more eyeballs on it. We just saw it in college in terms of the phenomenon that she is with the eyeballs. Now we're seeing it. Well, but she's packing 17,000 in for a loser, for a losing organization. Think about the marketing and advertising opportunities for women's basketball, for USA women's basketball with her on the squad.
Yeah. That
helps everybody. Everybody gets paid.
And again, I don't know how that works necessarily with the Olympics, but I will say, like, it just speaks to a larger resentment almost of Caitlin that you see.
Again, and I think that's key. Not just, you can't pin this on, these are black women trying to keep woman out.
Definitely not.
Here's Diana Taurasi, white woman participating in it.
No, she's sort of the face of it, honestly.
She's like, participating in
she
it.
She is the face of it because she's the one who came out in the college, you know, when she was playing college basketball in the Final Four.
So she wasn't all that.
She was hating, yeah. I mean, again,
I remember.
You've seen all these examples. I'll say this for Caitlin, like, she has met all of these, comments and remarks with nothing but grace the entire way, at least publicly.
She's handling it well.
I don't know what she says privately, but, publicly, she's been nothing but graceful about it, and has just said, listen, I know I have to earn it. I know that, it's the toughest team to make in sports, So I just feel like we make a lot of excuses as to why Caitlin shouldn't be on something, shouldn't do something. I just think largely they're.
Somebody's telling me Agumba Wale is a snub too because she averages 20. She is a snub.
There's more
too.
Than one snub.
And that's what I'm saying. We can take some of these veterans. We could take Griner up off that thing. Chelsea Gray's hurt. We could take Griner off this thing. We could take Taurasi off this thing and get the young and the new up in there.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly
Agumba
for that.
Agumba Wale definitely deserves it. I mean,
believe me, Caitlin ain't the only snub. Agumba Wale definitely deserves to be there. The point is that you're really playing yourself to the same. You're only helping the narrative that the vets are trying to keep her out.
Yeah.
Right? They're trying to make sure that it's her. We'll wait. We'll decide when it's her time. You're by having this team that's out there. Griner doesn't have to go back. I realize the story, she is going back.
Right.
But some of these older veteran players, Asia, she's got to be there.
Yeah.
You don't need a Plum. She's been there before. I realize she's one of the best
Caitlin's
shooters
better
before.
Than Kelsey Plum, bro.
I'll take her all day over Kelsey
she's
Plum.
She's better than Kelsey Plum. And, I mean...
And, And Kelsey's getting hers anyway. She's in these commercials. I see her all. Now she's free again because she's divorced Darren.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you saw that. That fool's finally retired.
He's
going to go to
one season
singing
with the Giants.
Yeah, he's going to go be a singer or rapper or something.
Okay.
That was your boy, man.
For about a year.
What a fall for Darren Waller.
Left the Raiders and his career just went to hell. I mean, he should have stayed, brother.
He got that money, wasn't never the same.
No doubt. That's true. It happens.
I'm sorry to get sidetracked. Just thought.
So, yeah, look, I would just like to see a little. This is what I'd like to see. I'd like to see a little bit more love from the WNBA and from their players when it comes to Caitlin Clark.
For the new.
I'm not saying, again, let me be very clear about this. Dude, I'm not asking WNBA players to deify her, okay? But just like, hey, man, is it that hard for somebody to come out and say this young woman is absolutely fantastic for our game? And it's such a privilege to have her in this game, expanding it and getting more people to watch it. Why is it so difficult for people to say? As opposed to what they say today, which is, you know, she just ain't ready for the physicality. She's not one of the best 12 players. She has to earn it. Like, that's all implied, obviously. But, like, do you think, like, in the NBA last year, Wimby was a freak, okay? Were people saying, Wimby just got to learn the NBA physicality. He got to learn it. He can't be the rookie and the defensive player of the year. He got to earn it. Like, now they're like, this dude is a freak. This dude is unbelievable. He's going to be great. Like, show me all the comments about NBA players hating on Victor Wembanyama. You can't. You won't find them.
See, let me tell you what this is about. This is about Diana Taurasi breaking a tie with 5 players for most Olympics ever. Okay? Like, Sue Bird's in that group. This is going to now set her apart. You know, that this is just as much about her legacy and everything else, and than it is about growing the game. And let me tell you what's going to grow the game more: Caitlin Clark and eyeballs and Agumba Wale too, and all the youngest best players you have, as opposed to Diana Taurasi breaking some tie because she's competed in 6 Olympics. That's why she's there, bro.
It's
better for chemistry. I mean, she's the main. Her and Griner are the main storyline, and that's you've had your time. She turns 42
now,
tomorrow.
People will say, well, Kayla can just do it in 4 years. I mean, 4 years is a long time. Like, she might want to, like, get married and have a child and all these things. Like, if she deserved to be on the team, she should be on the team. Like, you shouldn't put her off. Like, if she deserved it, she deserved it. I will say there's so much suspension of disbelief sometimes with women's basketball. Oh, it's so physical. No, you guys just can't make layups. Oh, you know, we have to make sure we have the 12 best. You're 70-3 in Olympic play. Like, the 12th women on the damn team does not matter. We could put some a wig on you and your Joanna man out there, and it ain't gonna matter. You know what I mean? It's the same difference. So why we have to act like it's, you know, gonna be the difference between a bronze or a gold? It ain't. And if there's any chance, by the way, if there's any chance that it could lead to something more productive for United States women's basketball, it should happen. It should happen.
Put me in charge of United States women's basketball.
Who is in charge of women's basketball? Is it the same woman in charge of the WNBA who never talks, Kathy Engelbert?
I don't know.
I just want more. I feel like there should be more love. That's all I'm saying.
I feel like they should add her and Agumba Wale.
Yeah, take Plum and Diana off, period. There you go.
Who says you got to have, what is it, 12?
Well, I think that's just the rules. Yeah.
Well, then we'll cut somebody else off of there.
Well, Chelsea Gray's hurt, so that's an easy one.
Well, then there's two.
She's in a boot.
Right there.
I'm sorry, like, you're hurt. You might be ready to play by the time, but you're not yourself. And this is such a, as you know, the margin in the Olympic women's basketball is so thin. I need full health a month out. I got to have it, man, because we might move to 75-4. You know what I mean? We can't have that. We cannot have that, Jason. So, yeah, I don't know. I would like to see a culture.
Agumba Wale and Caitlin should be added.
Yeah.
They can figure it out themselves who steps down.
Yeah, I would just like to see, like I said, more, you know, put your arms around Caitlin as opposed to bristling up at the topic. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's natural to say, go do it in the WNBA, go prove it. But, like, she's in the process. Like, she's, you know, playing just fine. And the things that she does, we've never seen from, you know, at that level. I think 25, she's like, it's crazy. She's like, you know, 7 of the top 10 most attempts in from 25 feet out.
Now, they cut Sylvia Fowles' old tail.
Right. But we got to make sure
Diana
gets 6.
That old horse off the pasture there. Tina Charles, same way, 35. They cut her loose.
Yeah.
But you know, Diana keeps moving on for the...
Yeah. Diana is a tyrant. You know, she just won't go...
Yeah, you're right. And you're so right how this goes back to her hating on Caitlyn in the tournament.
Oh, there's no question, dude. There's no doubt. It's just out there. It's
she's had a
record.
Sort of she ain't all that type vibe.
She has.
The entire time.
And look,
and again, so much of these women are getting the hit like they're being racist about this, man. You got Diana Taurasi leading it.
Well, look, she definitely...
She's helping lead it.
Because you know what? She has the respect, right? Because she was, in many people's eyes, one of the first, right?
At
the most successful level from a women's UConn at WNBA. And because she set the tone. She set the tone.
With all due respect, she only got us to $250,000 top salary.
Oh, I agree. No,
this new thing chance to take. So we all should embrace it.
We all should.
Because she has a chance to take us all with her.
We all should. But
to a whole new reality where we don't have to go over to overseas and
she set the tone for her peers when she hated on Caitlin Clark and everybody else followed.
Oh, I agree with that.
Everybody else followed. I ain't seen.
She could change it. That's what I'm saying. She could step up here.
She could have said, you know what? She could have laid her jersey down and she could have said, it's my time to pass this along.
Go off to the sunset with Sue.
That would have been a powerful thing for the next generation of women's basketball.
How come Sue Bird ain't trying to make another one?
Well, she retired. She's done playing.
Because she's 40-something.
Right. She's done.
She needs to talk to her girl.
People would say, well, what's the difference between Diana and LeBron? Well, we need LeBron still because, again, the men's...
Do we? I don't know.
It's
don't
more
know
competitive
the
in the, on, in the, on
well,
the men's
what's he
side.
Doing? He ain't crying.
Yeah, but you saw what happened when we played basketball at LeBron the World Cup, didn't you?
Yeah.
That wasn't very fun. We lost to Germany.
He's same thing to me, though. It's the same case here.
Yeah, but, I mean, being snubbed?
Again, he's not holding anybody back. If this was a
year
where he's doing that.
Well, I think he probably would.
If he's in a year where he's doing that, somebody that would really help the team.
Right.
Or, more importantly, somebody have all the eyeballs of the world on him because of what they are right now in their career.
Yeah.
That'd be different.
Again,
I don't feel like he's holding somebody back like Taurasi here is doing.
Like, go just again
free Agumba Wale, free Caitlin Clark
for sure. I mean, I think free those women. I think they both. And Agumba Wale is 27, right? She's a little older than Caitlin Clark, so by the time 2026 rolls around, she'll be 31 years old. That's her last shot. You know, you got to be healthy. You got to be all these different things. Like I think I kind of feel like it should rotate, honestly, especially when there's cases to be made. Where skill levels are equal or maybe even greater. You know, I don't feel like there's anybody with the men that we are sitting up here saying got snubbed other than Kyrie, and he made his own bed there with Nike. So, you know, if it would be different if that was the case. But, yeah, Diana set the tone. She's still gatekeeping and holding, she's trying to bury Caitlin. There's no doubt about it. Caitlin will be freed when Diana finally hangs it up.